This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. I begin by praising Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah the Almighty, Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of all worlds, the Exalted, the Majestic, and I ask Him to send His choicest of blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions, and every single individual who treads on his path, the Prophet's path, with ikhlas, with sincerity, until the end of time. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, this month, the month of Ramadan, it sped past us. We just have a few more nights left. This month is known as Shahru Tawbah, the month of Tawbah. And Tawbah is something that is extremely beloved unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in the Quran, Inna Allaha يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ. He Azza wa Jal did not say, for those of you who are familiar with the Arabic language, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّائِبِينَ. Instead, because ta'ib is the usual form used for repenter. Tawwab, on the other hand, is the exaggerated form. It is the intensive form. In other words, indeed, so the translation should go as, indeed, Allah loves those who repent often, who repent excessively. And this excessiveness could be due to repeated sins, because as human beings, we have all been created between mistakes, between making error and forgetfulness. So we keep slipping, so that could be one reason. The other reason is because of the closeness that a servant of Allah enjoys with Allah, and because of his or her knowledge of Allah, he or she does excessive tawbah. You see, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he did excessive tawbah. And no one can say, you can't say, I can't say that he was sinning, al-iyadu billah. So why was he doing excessive tawbah? Because of his closeness with Allah, his knowledge of Allah, but the fact that he knew that Allah loves tawbah. So my dear brothers in Islam, this month is a good opportunity to turn to Allah in tawbah. You see, it is from the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he has blessed us so much, this ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has simplified tawbah for us. I'm not sure whether you are aware that some of the previous nations, the previous umam, the previous prophets, some of them, their tawbah was legislated as if they had committed a sin, they had to get rid of the limb that perpetrated the sin. May Allah protect us all. For the tawbah to be accepted. So think of it for a moment. If your eye had committed a sin, a glance that is not appropriate, now the tawbah for that is to pluck out your eye. Had Allah legislated that upon this ummah, ask yourself, how many of us would be able to fulfill it? You had to pluck off your digits, pluck off your limbs. May Allah protect us all. And it is from His blessings that He has simplified the concept of tawbah for us. And another blessing upon this ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the blessing of satr, the blessing of concealment. Allah has hidden our mistakes. Allah has concealed our flaws. And this is why one of the pious people of the past is reported to have said, Alhamdulillahi alladhi lam yaj'al lidhunubi ra'iha. All praises be unto Allah that He did not place upon sin a bad odor, a lingering and bad odor. If Allah had done so, would we be able to face one another? Would we be able to sit like this? Because each and every one of us, if we were to touch our hearts, we know of the skeletons in our closets. We know of the sins that we have committed. We know of the thoughts that cross our minds and our hearts. If these were to be plastered on our foreheads, would we be able to walk gracefully on this earth? Would we be able to meet people gracefully? Would people want to even meet us? So it is from the blessings of Allah that Allah has concealed our faults. Allah has concealed our sins. Allah has not exposed it. And I want to share with you all a beautiful narration that should fill your hearts with hope with regards to the mercy of our Maker. Allah Azza wa Jal, who is more loving, who is more caring, who is more kind to us than even our own mothers. Hadith is recorded, if I'm not mistaken, in the book of Imam al-Tirmidhi, rahimahullah. You have a few ahadith, a few narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that talk about, that describe the last individuals to enter Jannah, the last people to enter Jannah. And mark my words, when, if you were to think about it now, how many human beings are on the face of this earth? You have about 7 billion odd human beings, right? We're not talking about the last person to enter Jannah from these 7 billion human beings. No, we're talking about the last human beings to enter Jannah from the very inception, from our father Adam alayhi salatu wasalam until the last human being to set foot on the face of this earth. From all those, from mankind in entirety, you have a hadith, you have narrations that talk about the last individuals to enter Jannah. So one such individual, the Prophet talks about him in this beautiful hadith. The narration goes along the lines of these words, أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. The man will be brought in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in other narrations also, you have this conversation that takes place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will address this servant of his, and it will be mentioned, O slave of mine, you committed this and this on this day and on that day. The narration goes along the lines of these words. You closed the doors. You concealed yourself from the eyes of the public, from the eyes of others. But you were heedless about the fact that I was watching you. Allahu Akbar. Just imagine how much of turmoil, how much of anxiety that slave of Allah would be in. That he disregarded and he thought the gaze of Allah or the eye of Allah, the watching of Allah, as being the most insignificant. Why? He hid himself from the eyes of the public. He hid himself from the eyes of his friends. But he didn't care about the fact that Allah was watching him. He felt ashamed to do what he did in front of the people. Why? Because it would tarnish his image. It would destroy his reputation. He would lose the goodwill that people had about him. But he cared less about the fact that Allah, his Maker, more beloved unto his mother, was watching him. So Allah will address him, oh my slave, you committed this and you committed that on this day and on that day. And none of us will be able to deny anything, my dear brothers in Islam. Why? This is not going to be any ordinary court. We're talking about the court of Allah, where not even an atom's weight of injustice will be served. And then it will be said, bring forth his sins. But exclude the major ones. Now you know, we have major sins and minor sins. So bring forth his sins, only his minor sins, leave out his major sins. Now in a way, if you try to think of what may go through the mind of that individual, he might at that juncture sigh a huge sigh of relief. Alhamdulillah, my major sins have not been brought forth. And now the minor sins are being mentioned. He won't deny anything. Why? Because everything has been recorded, my dear brothers in Islam. Every statement of yours, every action of yours, every glance of yours, every thought of yours. Today we have high-tech security systems, you know, in so much of detail, and you have terabytes of storage to record 1 month's worth of footage, 1 year's worth of footage, 10 years' worth of footage. This is the technology that weaklings like us, we have come forward with. Then just imagine what Allah has with Him. Every statement of yours will be recorded. And everything is recorded fi kitabim mubin, in a clear book, and it will be presented. And once everything has been presented, most probably this man will hang his head in despair, in sorrow, in sadness. And then out of the infinite mercy of Allah, the sheer kindness of Allah, it will be announced. Transform all these sins that were mentioned into good deeds. Now this man, his face lights up. And the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells us that the man blurts out at that moment. Why? Because his heart is now filled with hope. He's rejoicing and he says, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. But there are some other sins that have not been mentioned, Ya Allah. Why? Now initially he did not want those sins to be mentioned. He wanted them to be excluded. He wanted them to be concealed, his major ones. But now that he saw, he witnessed the magnanimity of Allah, the generosity of Allah, the kindness of Allah, he cries out, Ya Allah, my other sins too, in the hope that those sins also will be transformed into good deeds. This is the mercy of our Maker, my dear brothers in Islam. Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, he mentions in his book, Madarij al-Salikin, that there are four rivers. There are four rivers that Allah puts a slave of His to purify him. Four rivers. Now depending on the level or the number of sins and other factors, an individual may have to be purified at times in two rivers, at times in three rivers, at times in all four rivers to be purified. Because you see, to enter Jannah, you have to be pure. You have to be pure. What are these four rivers? Obviously, time does not permit me to go into all four rivers, but I want to swiftly touch on them. The four rivers are, number one, the river of Tawbah. Number one, the river of Tawbah. Number two, the river of A'malu Salihah, the river of good deeds. So the river of Tawbah no doubt purifies you. Number two, the river of good deeds purifies you. Number three, the river of tests, calamities, trials and challenges. If Allah loves an individual, because see, these three rivers are connected to dunya. It's all in dunya. May Allah protect us from the river of purification of Al-Akhirah. The fourth one is the blazing fire of Jahannam. If even after these three rivers, if a person has not been purified entirely, then he will be dipped into the fourth river for a complete purification. And once he or she is purified, but don't take it lightly, it is the fire of Jahannam. After that, that individual, if he believes in Allah, he will be admitted into Jannah. Now these three rivers are related to or connected to this worldly life. So Tawbah, Amalu Salihah, and trials, calamities, challenges and difficulties. If you are being tested, my dear brother, my dear sister, know that Allah loves you. It could be to purify you of your sins, to elevate, to raise your ranks in His eyes, and to get you closer to Him. So don't utter blasphemous things when you are going through a test, when you are going through a trial, when you are going through a calamity. It takes a high level of faith to accept it. You see, at times we have people, may Allah protect us all from terminal illnesses, and may Allah ease the affairs of those who have been diagnosed with terminal illnesses. You see, you have an individual who is diagnosed with cancer. So you have two approaches to go about with it, and you yourself might have witnessed it with people who have been diagnosed with cancer. You have certain individuals who would say, I have been tested with cancer. And you will also come across certain people who beautifully say, I have been gifted with cancer. Allahu Akbar. You see, to say the latter, it takes a lot of iman, a lot of faith, a lot of tawakkul, to accept it as a gift from Allah. Most of us, we look at it negatively. When we look at trials, challenges and calamities, we tend to want to wage war with Allah. Why, Ya Allah, have you tested me like this? We go on to utter blasphemous things. So it takes a very high level of faith to accept it as a gift from Allah and to change, to have this mindset shift where you look at it as a form of purification, as a blessing in disguise. So my dear brothers in Islam, the river of Tawbah, this month is a beautiful month for you to dip, for you to jump into that river, the river of Tawbah. You see, sins are an obstacle that prevents you from getting close to Allah. If you are finding it difficult to fast, if you are finding it difficult to pray, if you're finding it difficult that when you read the Quran, your heart is not moistened, your heart is not being softened, you feel your heart is hard. If you're finding it difficult to do good deeds, if you're finding it difficult to give out charity, if you're finding it difficult to give out your zakah, if I'm not mistaken, a man goes like this complaining to Ali radiallahu anhu, Ya Ali, I'm finding it difficult to do good deeds. I'm finding it difficult to wake up for suhoor. I'm finding it difficult to fast. I'm finding it difficult to pray. I'm finding it difficult to read the Quran and make tadabbur of the Quran to reflect on the words of my maker. You know what Ali radiallahu anhu said to this man? Ya Rajul, قَدْ قَيَّدَتْكَ ذُنُوبُكَ. Oh man, your sins have shackled you. Your sins have shackled you. Your sins are weighing you down like an anchor. And that's why you find it difficult to move. That's why you find it difficult to get closer to Allah. That is why your heart is hardening. So my dear brothers in Islam, you see, Allah does not like sins. Remember, Allah does not like sins, but Allah loves tawbah. So if you fall into the pit of sin, tawbah is to remove yourself from it. See the difference between taqwa and tawbah. Taqwa is to avoid the sin. Tawbah is when you go into the sin, coming out of it. This is the difference. You know, in simple layman terms, taqwa versus tawbah. Taqwa is to avoid it entirely. Prevention, wiqaya, to avoid it entirely. Tawbah is when you acknowledge you've gone into the sin, but you don't linger in there, you don't stay in there, you remove yourself from it. And the beauty of tawbah is that you intend firmly that you do not go back into that pit, into that abyss again. And my dear brothers, Islam, once you go into tawbah, remember river number two, a'malu salih. I'm going to mention one more narration and conclude one or two, because I think I have about 2 to 3 minutes. A man, you see, you have the ayah in the Quran. Our maker, he says, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ طَرَفَيِ النَّهَارِ وَزُلَفًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ ذَلِكَ ذِكْرَى لِلذَّاكِرِينَ. When looking at the sababun nuzul, or the reason behind the revelation of this ayah, in the books of tafsir, there's a hadith, if I'm not mistaken, in the book of Imam al-Tirmidhi again, that mentions a man goes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, Ya Rasulullah, there was a woman and I fell into temptation, desire. And I did everything except for the act of intercourse with her. Is there any hope for tawbah for me? The Prophet was quiet. If I'm not mistaken, the man asks again. And then Umar radiallahu anhu, the genius, Umar radiallahu anhu was in the crowd. And he cries out, Ya Rajul, what have you done? Allah concealed your faults. Allah concealed your mistakes. It was between you and Allah. Why did you now come here and expose yourself in front of all of us? Allahu Akbar. The Prophet remains quiet. And after a while, the man leaves. Then this ayah was revealed unto the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, and he immediately sends someone to call the man back. The man comes back. What is the ayah? وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ طَرَفَيِ النَّهَارِ وَزُلَفًا مِّنَ اللَّيْلِ. The ayah talks about establishing salah. And then, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Indeed, good deeds erase bad deeds. It erases bad deeds. The man cries out, Ya Rasulullah, is this specially for me, only for me? The Prophet says, no, this is for the entire ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So just like in a cup, when you have a black dot, you pour pure water, it comes out, do good deeds, your sins will be forgiven, and you will see all of it in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Use this month to turn to Him in sincere tawbah. May Allah azza wa jal forgive us of our sins. May He accept our good deeds. May He help us all to turn to Him in sincere tawbah. May He bless us with beautiful, healthy, long and productive lives to attain many more Ramadan in the future. Ameen, ameen, wa akhir da'wayan, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakumullah.